This is Sugandhi, Iyer for the Good Fortune Show. Welcome back. I am dependent on a hotel's internet. And yes, if any break in internet, it's going to switch to the regular phone reception, which is also fine. We're in an American hotel, so I'm just like hoping everything's going to go fine. We are outside in the sense that out of the city that we normally stay in, and we've got beautiful mountains again in front of us. So this particular mountain, and we could stay here even the last time, and this particular mountain is out there, so we kind of request this side of the hotel because we can see all these mountains, and on top of the mountain it's a point. The sun rises exactly on that point. So when the sun starts to rise, then it just rises up behind this point, and then it goes higher and higher, and then it starts to angle out. And so it's very beautiful to watch. But last evening, around maybe 11 o'clock, I'm not sure exactly what time, 11 p.m. night, I suddenly saw, and I was thinking of thunderstorm. It came into my mind, the words thunderstorm, and suddenly the sky started to flash. And looked out, and behind the same mountain that the sun rises, there was lightning. Just, I don't know what to call it, dry lightning, maybe, because there wasn't any rain falling. There's lightning, and the clouds were getting lit up, and very light clouds, not heavy clouds. So it's really not, how they say chance for rain kind of weather. No, just dry lightning, and it was a strike. What is it? A strike of lightning, that shape, the lightning shape. And as soon as I said the word thunderstorm, it just started. And there was no rain, of course, but I assumed, the Lord of Thunder and Lightning, Thor, was saying, "Yeah, I'm here." And so this streak, yeah, the streak of lightning, it's a very, from where I stood, it looked like a very short streak, of course. It's miles away, so it's in the sky. It would look like a short streak of lightning, but it was like a squiggle. And it just, the same streak just kept happening again and again and again with no other streaks in the sky, except that because of that particular streak, even if there was a streak in the sky, I didn't notice it. Other ones, the clouds were getting lit up. That particular area of this mountain top was getting lit up outside the window. And it started to happen as soon as I said the word thunderstorm. So, wow, okay, somebody's listening, or it feels like it. See, the thing is, we can all say this is a coincidence, right? We can say, oh, these are coincidences, and how's it? She says the word thunderstorm, and then one streak of lightning starts to appear behind the same point. I mean, obviously, if it's really behind, then I won't be able to see much of it, but they kind of angled it so that the point of this mountain over which the sun rises, and then at that point, exactly on the right of that point, the streak of lightning. And it just kept appearing in no rain, but it just kept like a discotheque, right? You know how those lights, disco lights? Wow. But this is a disco happening in the sky, no rain, nothing, just, hey, I'm here. Now, we did speak about the significance of symbols and signs and being in the vibration of certain deities and being in certain vibrations that gives evidence that they're listening, that they're responding, and seeing how we join the dots and arrive at the conclusion that they want us to arrive at, which is, hey, I'm here. Hello. Thunder God's signature. Remember I said the goddess of abundance has her own signature. She'll start providing air conditioning where there is none and marble flows. Like, her signature is comfort, luxury. His signature, you know, he has other signatures too. Obviously, it includes comfort and luxury too, because they're all in cahoots with each other, correct? But his signature is rain, very targeted rain at a certain spot, certain streaks. Like, this streak just went on after I said the words thunderstorm, with no rain, and exactly at that mountain point. So, wow. So this mountain seems to be important. And, you know, the sun rises over it exactly from the angle at which we're observing. And then this lightning starts behind this mountain point. And, wow. So putting the dots together, that's our job, correct? I mean, we need to do some work. We need to do some work, and we need to start to join the dots and arrive at the right conclusions, which suits us. It suits us because we're the center of our universe. So one is, this is the world that is the center of our universe. The second part is, for us, particularly as individuals, certain things are the center of our universe. So we are the center of our universe. You can call it ego if you want. But it's all about us, ultimately. So for me, this is how it appears. And yesterday, of course, yesterday evening, maybe around between 7:30 and 9, I'm not sure exactly the time, we saw certain scenes of a movie, and we were watching a movie after we went out and we came back and all that stuff, right? So we were watching a movie, and in that movie, there's this lady, and she is not the main heroine of the movie, but she is a very prominent, what they call, character role. So you have the hero, you have the heroine, and then you have some important characters, right? So she normally comes in very important character roles, and she's a bit of a comic relief. So her thing is comedy. And so they were showing us that she was so money-minded and stingy that, okay, this is kind of slapstick. So you can't really find logic behind this. There's no logic. It's pure slapstick. It's just meant to make people laugh and forget that, you know, they have a brain. So she was doing things like, she had one hen, and she would hang the hen from a piece. Okay, this is complete slapstick, okay? So don't try to find logic in it. She would hang the hen by one leg, and she would eat her food and kind of take the food, like a spoon of food, but they eat with their hands. They're villagers, they eat with their hands. So she took the food to the hen, towards the hen, and then she would eat it. And she kept doing that. And her logic is, well, you can preserve the hen, then you don't. Okay, you just have to kind of imagine that you're eating chicken. And so, you know, we're vegetarians, so for us that doesn't apply. But for them, in their culture, and this is India again, but this is their particular community, correct? Eating chicken is a sign of being well-to-do for them. And so the whole village gathered around, and they were watching this like, oh my God, what is she even doing? You know, this is such a indication of lack and scarcity. And they were like, what? She's preserving one chicken. And then later on, she was using the picture of an image of a hen and, you know, doing all these things. And if she bathed, then she would make sure that she would use only so much water and sprinkle herself with water and then pour water back into the well, because they have wells from which, you know, they take water, and it's a village. And so these were signs that she was trying to conserve and preserve. And completely, you know, she would take a bar of soap, maybe, and then imagine that she was washing her face with it, but she wouldn't let it lather and, you know, whittle down and reduce in size. No, she was preserving that bar of soap. So, yeah, you have to put your brain aside and, you know, just go with the flow with this movie and what they're showing. And so then I just did a maybe 20-second check or a minute check in my brain after we watched the movie. And I said to my family, I said, what if we, you know, how do we conserve things? So I was just doing this small, maybe like a comedy thing, and like, maybe we can, you know, what is it that we can do like she does and save ourselves a ton of money, because obviously we're spending money left, right, and center. We're spending money like it's going out of fashion. So I said, what are the things that we can do? Okay, so the rest of my family, they just completely barred the whole idea. And I was thinking in my mind, okay, what are the things that we can do to conserve money? And just, you know, just to see. And do you know something? My mind came up with no answer. It was like zero. I couldn't come up with one single thing that I could do without or that I would cut down on and try to save money from our natural living habits. I'm talking about, I'm not talking about going mad and, you know, just doing something really crazy. I'm talking of from our natural organic living habits. There's not one thing that my mind came up with to cut down on. And wow, so, you know, cutting down on items that people don't want to spend on is also some kind of ability, I assume. It's something that could be in the wiring, you know, the mind's wiring, the way it is wired, the way somebody's brought up, what they're used to doing, and, you know, conserving the habits of conserving and reducing expenses all the time. And my mind was completely empty of anything that I would cut down on. I couldn't come up with any answer. And in fact, my mind was giving me more items that I could spend on. So our coding is so important, how we are coded and what we do. I remember in Vegas, I would watch a show every day. And so like my mind never says, okay, if you don't watch these shows, you would save so much, so much, so much money. So my mind doesn't come up with that. Like, okay, stop. Don't watch this. Don't eat this. Don't buy this. Don't do this. Don't do that. And we're talking of our natural, normal, organic behaviors. And so, you know, being in good fortune also is the feeling of good fortune, where we feel that, wow, we have, and we can buy this, and we can spend, and we can enjoy, and be in a kind of a place in your mind, which then translates into physical practice. That, okay, so the mind itself and its patterns and its wiring, and knowing that good fortune is something that, it's something where you feel you will have a continuous and increasing flow of abundance. And knowing and having that faith that there is no such thing as lack. If just by mentioning the words thunderstorm, this particular mountain over which the sun rises, and it's a perfect straight on. So there's this mountain point. You know how they have in the pictures, the kids draw, they draw one point, correct? And yes, there is a range going on of mountains, but we're talking of this huge mountain and that point. You know how kids draw that one point? Well, the sun rises exactly on the dot. Not on the dot. It's like as if exactly at that point is where the sun rises. And Thunder God, to the right of that, exactly, he put a streak of lightning. And he just kept flashing that lightning again and again and again after I said the words thunderstorm. It just started. It was like a disco in the sky, no rain, nothing. Just saying, you know, hi, you know, I'm here. And so do you see that four different people, of course, their indication of good fortune could be something else. For this entire village that stood in this particular movie at the window of this particular lady who was pretending she was eating chicken and she wanted to conserve chicken. So it's good for the vegetarians though, right? It's good for the animals. But for that particular community of people, that was a sign of scarcity. And so for them, that was, wow. I mean, how stringent or how stingy can somebody be? For them, in their community, it was a sign of lack. Okay? Now, everybody, depending on where they come from, has certain signs, have certain signs of abundance. And so, yes, it's better to go with those signs. It doesn't have to necessarily be what I consider my signs in our community. So if I have vegetables falling out of the sky, correct? That's a sign of abundance for me. For somebody else, it could be chicken. For somebody else, it could be something else. So you just have to take what I'm saying and turn it around and apply it to your culture. Fictitious Jane has to take it, turn it around, and apply it to her culture. What is it that her culture sees as signs of abundance? And it doesn't necessarily have to be mine, because mine says a lot of vegetables, correct? For somebody else, it could be something else. And for someone else, it could be something else. So it is very individual for each person, that they chart out the signs of good fortune that they consider are signs of good fortune. And so, yes, I found in my mind that I couldn't go into what this person was doing in this particular movie, and that is cutting down on things in order to save. So I know how to add things to spend, but cutting down is something that is not in my particular program. And so when we go into our minds and we start to search for scarcity and what are the normal survival instincts that a person has, a person who could be in some kind of a scarcity zone, for instance, where there could be some kind of discordance, war elements going on, might have certain survival instincts and may be able to conserve and preserve. For them, that could be part of their survival instinct. Whereas in our family, we don't seem to have this thing about cutting down on expenses in order to conserve. So that particular thing or habit is missing. Now, for us, what we do is, If we want to save more money, we just make more money. We don't cut down. We make more money if we want to save more money. If we want to have more money in the bank, we go and make it. But we don't cut down on already existing spending patterns in order to conserve. So let's say, because, you know, we're into the abundance mindset, we spend more and more, correct? It just gets more. Then what we do is, if, first of all, we believe that we will always get, correct? So there is that belief and faith. The second thing is, if somebody wants to be really practical, they just have to go make more money. Find more ways to make money. Don't get into that mindset where, wow, in order to save, one has to cut down and conserve. So that goes back to spending patterns and how we approach life with the kind of joy that we approach life really matters, that we approach life in a way that scarcity is just a theory to be spoken about. It is just something that, because that concept exists in the world, we even discuss it. It's almost like, oh, you know, we're at this party, we have nothing to talk about. Oh, let's just discuss the theory of scarcity. Something like that. Or, okay, you know, just because we have nothing more to talk about or nothing else to talk about, we're just going to discuss scarcity for the sake of discussing scarcity, not because it's a reality, just because, well, you know, somebody talked about it. Now we just want to have a short conversation on it. We'll talk about it and push it aside and forget that it even exists. So do you see what I'm saying here? Our mindset, our thinking is so very important. Very important. It is what is going to be the building block, the foundation of who we are, how we see life, and what happens to us. So yes, it might seem a bit, what is the word, elitist? What is the word? But it's not about not having empathy or sympathy or not sharing. In fact, when we're in that abundance mindset is when we can pump in money into the economy. Because I know they showed something on TV a few days ago, or maybe a couple of weeks, I'm not sure. Something about, I think, 85%, 90%, 95%, it's a huge percentage of people don't buy luxury items. They don't. It is, in fact, it was a very staggering, tiny percentage of people who actually buy luxury goods and items. And I'm assuming a cruise, luxury hotels, fine dining, you know, all of this is included in the luxury items list. And it's a very staggering small amount or small percentage of people who actually pump in money into luxury items. But you see, that small percentage that is pumping in all of this money into luxury items, because otherwise how does a country manufacture, and why would they manufacture luxury items and have luxury hotels and all these things? Why would they do it unless they're going to get money out of it, correct? So the fact that these items exist means somebody's buying, but the bulk of the purchase of all of those luxury items is done by a staggeringly small percentage of people. And that is true for this country, maybe true in other countries. They talk about the top one person holding the top something percentage of the world's money. And it seems that in India, it seems they hold a very large percentage. The Indian women hold a very large percentage of the world's gold, 10% or more. I mean, if you take the whole world, right, then 10% of the world's gold is held by Indian women. Now, this is culture that is because, you know, they've given women, these women are given gold when they get married, and then there is this culture that they don't sell gold because it's considered bad luck. And the gold is, I think, 22 to 24 karat gold. It's not 14 karat gold. It's 22 to 24% of purity in gold. And so there are statistics of, okay, it doesn't mean that just because they hold gold that the majority of this country is spending on luxury goods. If you're not saying that, that's a separate category. This is a separate category. This, we're talking about gold. That, we're talking about luxury. And yes, it is true that a very small percentage of people are actually splurging on luxury. And so the people who are splurging on luxury are not going to be able to. It's almost like it's not in our DNA, you know, because they keep talking of DNA, right? It's not in our DNA. So I'm adding that over here. I don't even know really what it means, but I'm just joking. But you see, it's not in our DNA to cut down when a lot of money is going into luxury. It is not in our DNA to start cutting down on survival, basic comforts and goods like that. And so when we see what our mental makeup is and how confident, you know, how much faith do we have that, wow, we ask and we receive. And it goes back to the basic law of attraction teaching, ask and it is given. Ask and you shall receive. Ask and the whole world is at your feet. And what you need to have is faith that, wow, I can ask and I shall receive. And so we want to take a couple of minutes break. You're going to be listening to some regular music, some instrumental, I think. And then I'm hoping you're not going to go away. And I'm coming back soon, so hold on tight. Hi, this is Sugandhi Iyer for the Good Fortune Show. Welcome back. In the last show, I was talking about how, the city that we live in and most of the cities here actually, they just cement everything over and keep constructing, and licenses for construction is just given without proper town planning. So I did say that, and I just wanted to explain I'm not using affirmations to turn this around for these cities. I'm not. I said it the way it was. I said it the way it is. I'm very much into reality. I'm not trying to deny reality here. And I did not use any affirmations to change that. I don't. The reason I don't is because, and I want to explain this, it's because the energy of the cementing process and the construction and the money involved is so huge. It is so huge. I wouldn't be able to take it on. I wouldn't be able to take it on. Because energetically, I would receive a huge backlash. Because that's how huge that energy is. So, if me and my individual, and I'm really good at manifesting, don't get me wrong, I could take it on if I really wanted to. But I'm not going to spend my time diffusing that. You know, if I really wanted to, I could, I suppose. I didn't even try. But I'm not taking it on. It's too huge. It's like going against something which is rumbling for years, which is happening for years. And the energy is so huge that to take it on would require a lot of my dedicated time and energy. So, no, I just said it the way it is. This is what they're doing. This is how it is. But what I can do, and what I do, is I don't fight that energy. I don't stand there like an energy warrior and take them on, and not going to do that. What I do, of course, is that I go to the places where there is a lot of vegetation, where there are farmlands, where there is amazing scenery. Beautiful lakes, animals, forests, greenery. So that's what I do. I support abundance, but I do not fight lack. Because in order to fight lack, especially that which is existing for some time and has built up in power, because all the politics and all the people who would lose money and all of that, correct? Instead of fighting lack, it is better to support abundance. So, what I do is I go to the places where there is an abundance of what I want. And as we focus, like what we focus on expands to create our reality. So, if we focus on fighting lack, that's the one that's going to gain more power. By our mere attention to it. Because we're putting all of this energy and we're fighting it, so it actually gathers more energy. But instead, if we focus on the things that are already there, that is already in existence, that is in existence in huge amounts, then what happens is, the good fortune forces are the ones that are empowered. They get, when I say empowered, I mean they gather power because we're focusing on the good fortune, we're focusing on abundance. So that's what we do. We go towards the places that are green, that are beautiful. We give these beautiful things our power. Our focus. We don't sit and fight lack or scarcity. You can't do that. You cannot do that. You can only, I mean, there are people who do it. Don't get me wrong. There are people, they have those methods. They sit and fight. They take them on. And it becomes a huge issue. But instead, if we focus on goodness and abundance and beauty and gratitude, oh my God, the power of all of that is huge and will win, will take over, because it's already in existence, correct? We're already filling ourselves up with goodness. So, huge amounts of coconuts, watermelons, and some other rare fruit that I was asking my mother, like, what is this? And she's saying, okay, this is what it is, and this is what, you know, is inside it. And so, yeah, I have to try that. So what we focus on expands to create our reality. So that's what we're saying now. Today it's about our reality, me, myself, and I, you, yourself, and you. Well, it's our reality. We get to experience what we want to. We fill our energy up with whatever we want. And then it becomes the truth for us. Whereas somebody else could be choosing another reality, could be focused on something else, on viewing something else. And then what happens, it gets into their aura, and these people kind of start to live that reality, and they feed it more and more. And you know what they say, right? Which is the wolf that you want to feed? Choose the wolf that you want to feed. So it's better to always focus on something good. And the reason is because when we focus on something good, then we kick in, we bring in what is already good. And that is the energy, because we're the center of our universe, that we're able to expand on and we're able to do. And so, yes, you know, some of the things that I might say might be applicable to me being the center of my universe, my family being the center of my universe. But another person could take it and apply it to himself, herself, the way she sees fit. It is the principles that really matter in the end. The principles are what are common here. It's not exactly what I do with the principles that matters. I might use these principles for something that I want. Somebody else can listen to the show, take it, and use these principles for whatever he or she wants, for whatever it is that their culture wants. And so remember I said about this community, and for them, eating chicken is what is the norm, you know, and not eating it is considered scarcity for them. For me and the community that I come from, the Brahmin community, it's completely different. It's completely opposite. But that doesn't mean that the principles of abundance changes here, correct? The principles are still the same, and they can be applied accordingly. For example, in our family, again, you know, my mother's side, my father's side, genetically, all the men look like Greek gods, like literally. All the features are Roman and Greek gods. The features are beautiful, you know, beautiful skin, beautiful hair, absolute Greek gods. The features, the, you know, the sculpted lips and nose and eyebrows, beautiful. Skin, facial structure, everything. But those are not the features which are prevalent in another community, for instance. So it all changes. So my preferences as to, you know, the kind of features that I might go for could be completely different from some other person's preferences. It's just that genetically in our DNA, this is what it is. You know, this is what I saw growing up. This is how all the men in our family look like. They're all sculpted like Roman gods and Greek gods. Their features are like that. Their hair, their skin, their noses, their lips are sculpted. Beautiful cheekbones, absolutely gorgeous. And this is how they look. But that is what I grew up with. And so my preferences would go along those lines. But then there are many, many families which are very, very different. And so everybody needs to basically use the principles, but they have to turn it around and see how it applies to them and use it accordingly. But the thing is, we cannot run away from who we are, and accepting who we are is a very, very important thing. That, oh my God, this is who I am. You know, in when we accept who we are, oh, this is what I like, this is who I am. Not that we're against something else, we might even appreciate it all, but when we go back to ourselves and we say, okay, you know what, this is who I am, this is what I prefer, and we can't try to be somebody else, because then we're running away from the basic ingredient that makes us who we are. And so good fortune has a lot to do with that, because the goddess of abundance has already given a lot to each set of people as per their culture, their community, their this, their that. And a lot of the lack and the scarcity mindedness that comes about in people's minds is because they're trying to be somebody else. You see, when you try to be someone else, or you try to borrow or try very hard to fit into some other mold, then what happens is that, you know, there could be a resultant feeling of, one, not being accepted, two, scarcity mindedness, you know, not being able to completely fit into some other mold. And then this is what is actually triggering a lot of people in the world, are getting triggered into feeling incomplete, lack of confidence, not being accepted, feeling less. For example, people from Africa, you know, they're beautiful people and they have their amazing qualities and athletic abilities and music and beats and rhythm and foods and clothing. Oh my God, I was looking at some of their clothing, which they've started to put on Instagram. And you can see that, wow, when they dress up, it just looks so gorgeous with all the colors and everything. And so, you know, they're amazing in their culture. But when people start to, you know, want to be like somebody else, it doesn't matter. I mean, you can learn from other people. You can always expand. There is no problem with expanding. There is no problem with adapting. There is no problem with adopting, not adapting. Because when you try to adapt, then that's where the backlash comes. But when you adopt something, that's different. You're not just taking from something else. You're adding to your own good fortune. So it's like we have our good fortune and we can take from something else and we can add to it. But we cannot get rid of our own culture, our own good fortune, and completely then, you know, depend on something else which is extraneous and which is completely different, and then feel that, oh my God, I'm going to be feeling fulfilled or contented, or I'm going to be feeling as if I'm already in good fortune, because that is where scarcity mindedness and feeling incomplete and lack of confidence and as if, you know, we're not good enough for the world and all of these feelings that come up in people. And so to know that, oh my God, good fortune vests so much on what I already have. What I already have, you know, these are the set of my features. This is how my lips are constructed. This is how my face is, this is how my hair is, this is how my body is, and God did not intend for me to feel less than someone else because, you know, he doesn't make mistakes. He put me in this beautiful culture. He put me in this beautiful community. These are my people. These are my people. I'm fully accepted here. I feel very much a part of them. There is no lack going on over here. I feel that I have an abundance of everything that is already prevalent, that is already existing around me. And what I need is for me to feel comfortable in my skin, in who I am, in what I am. And so when this happens, then, you know, a lot of competing goes away in the world. A lot of feeling bad because, oh, you know, this person looks like this. This person looks like this. This person is different. This person talks like this, walks like this. And so, especially, you know, when you come to a country like India, and there are so many languages that are spoken over here, but nobody feels that they have lack or scarcity if they don't know some other language that is prevalent in this country. You know, though people try to make them feel lack, you know, by saying, oh, you don't know this language, it is the official language, or this is the language, and you don't know it, and so you're less. No, people feel so comfortable with the languages that they're grown, that they grow up with, that they talk in, with their own culture. There is no need to borrow from somebody else. And, you know, if you want to add, you can always add. But what we're also going at here is that good fortune is like a treasure chest. It's like a treasure chest. And when the treasure chest is already full, when that treasure chest is already full, because of our appreciation of who we are, what we already have, what it is that is ours, that is intrinsic to us. So the treasure chest is not empty. It's our treasure chest. It's already full of various precious things. And then what we can do is, with this amazingly full treasure chest, we can go out and we can add to it. We can add to our skills, we can add to our thoughts, we can add to our belief systems. Well, not belief systems exactly, but expand. We can add on more boxes that we can fill with treasure. But we're not starting at zero, or we're not starting at negative. And the negative is where, when people feel that what they have is not enough, or what they've been giving is wrong, and they want to completely demolish everything and then go out and find something in a foreign place. And when I talk about foreign, I mean culture-wise. And then they try to replace or take from them, but all the time feeling the sense of lack of confidence about oneself. And that is not a good trigger for good fortune, because good fortune comes when we already feel as if we have a lot, and then more is given to the person who feels as if he has a lot. Because he's already full. He has everything. He is complete, whole and complete. You know how they say, oh, we need to be whole and complete? Well, this wholeness and completion comes from everything that we already have. So, for instance, in that movie yesterday, when they tried to bring about a kind of discipline by reducing expenses, things that they would normally have in their lives. And when we start to think about what is it that we can cut down in our life, you know, just as a test, if you think about it. And if your mind can come up with no answer, it's like, no, I don't think I'm going to do away with this car or with this or with this or with this, because, you know, it's all part of me. I already have it. It's because it is intrinsic to us. We're already full of all of this abundance and signs of abundance and material signs. A lot of these material signs that they talk about, correct? They say, oh no, if you're truly spiritual, then you shouldn't give importance to the material world. But these material signs, they're signs. Yeah, they're material items, but they're actually signs of or symbols of what it is that we have already gathered in our treasure chest. So a swimming pool, for instance, if a person is used to a swimming pool, you know, he's brought up like that, he has it or he has earned it. He now feels that every home that he needs to, that he goes to has to have a swimming pool. You know, it's part of his treasure chest. And instead of doing away with, unless somebody really doesn't need a swimming pool and they're like, oh my God, this is too much to maintain, right? You know, I'm not going to have a swimming pool because it's too much to maintain. That's different. Even there, you can find solutions, of course, correct? But, you know, it's not that, oh, somebody gives up their swimming pool, someone gives up his swimming pool because he can no longer afford it. That is not where people need to go with saving and cutting down. Because once a person starts to cut down, it becomes a habit. So they snip a little bit here, they snip a little bit there, then cutting down itself becomes a pattern. It becomes a habit. Oh, I can snip a bit here off. I can snip a bit of this off. I can snip a bit of that off. I can save $10 here. I can save $100 over there. I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. Oh my God, that mind has now become trained in how to cut away at things. And it's not that, oh, they cut one item and then they stop there. No, once they stop that journey of cutting down, and instead of earning more. Now we're trying to tell people, okay, let's be balanced over here, you know, let's use our wisdom, let's use our intellect, let's do our calculations correctly. But to know that once a person starts to cut on this and cut on that, he'll snip a bit off here, he'll snip a bit off there, he'll just keep snipping at things because he thinks now this is his formula for survival. He will use this formula because he'll think, oh my God, I got enlightened. This is the formula. And trust me, they're doing this on YouTube. They're showing people how to live in how they used to live in 1930s in order to save money. So scarcity-mindedness and saving by snipping at things. We're not talking of things that, you know, could cause harm to the world. We're saying, okay, don't go down the path, because a lot of YouTubes right now that are showing people how to be frugal and how to go into scarcity mindedness, it becomes a pattern. And you know something, that is not a sign of good fortune. That is a sign of believing that more is not available, that more is not available to us. And you know, we will discuss more in our next show, because I got my warning, next Friday, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, for the Joyful Manifestation Show. We will be meeting again, and I'm hoping you're going to be joining me again. This is Sugandhi Iyer, signing off for the Good Fortune Show, and we will be meeting again for the Joyful Manifestation Show next week. I'm wishing you a fantastic rest of the week and a fantastic rest of the day.